I'd like to discuss tonight the issue of Orla. And interestingly, Orla is one of the few mitzvot which, in a sense, since Tluyad Ba'aretz, which remain today midoraita. Okay, most of the mitzvot are Tluyad Ba'aretz, we talk about Chumos and Maestros, is only when most of the inhabitants are in Eretz Yisrael, or we still learn about Chala, is also only when all the people are in Eretz Yisrael. But Orla doesn't have that din, and therefore Orla continues to be, nowadays, also din the Oraisa. Okay, so let's see the din of Orla, and we'll go through some of the points, some of the questions that come up, halacha lemaisa. Right, the psukim on Parshas Kedoshim, where it says in Perek Yutes, V'chitavol ha'aretz unetatem kol eit ma'achal, varaltem or lasoes perio shalosh shanim yelachem arilim lo yeachel. Torah says when Am Yisrael will come to Eretz Yisrael and plant a tree, right, Torah talks about eit ma'achal, then for 3 years the fruit is considered arilim. Right, what is the word arilim? What does it mean? We have the word arel comes up 3 times. Varaltem or lato et perio yelachem arilim lo yeachel. What is the idea of arilim? What does it mean that if we talk about a person who didn't have a bismila, is called an arel. What is the idea of arel? What does it mean over here in the context of fruit? That the fruit is arelim. So Rashi explains, areltem orlato va'atamtem atimato. The idea of arel is something which is covered, which is sealed, atum, mechuseh. And that's what the Torah says. This fruit has to be covered. This fruit is sealed. This fruit is not usable, just like an arla that the avir is covered by the orla, so too, the fruit here is covered, the fruit is prohibited, the fruit is not available. That's what Torah emphasized, that for the first 3 years, the fruit is not allowed to be used. Interesting idea, the question is, what is the point of this mitzvah? So then it says, the pasuk continues, after 3 years of orla, the fourth year, kodesh hilalim lashem, take the Beit HaMikdash, take the Yerushalayim, eat netar is revai. And the fifth year, then it becomes like any other food. What's the idea of the mitzvah of Orla? So one of the explanations given, I believe the Sefer HaChinuch explained, that the Orla is in a certain sense to allow us to get to Revai. We want to take the first fruit and to use it before Hashem. However, the first few years of fruit is very little, and the fruit is not such good quality. So therefore, we don't want to have those years go to Hashem. We want to have the first normal, the first reasonable yavul, the first reasonable crop, which is the fourth year, to Hashem. In order for that to be able, for the first good crop to be to Hashem, so we ask for the first 3 years, and the fourth year is when we have the first reasonable crop, and that goes to Yerushalayim, to Hashem, and afterwards it becomes like any other fruit. Nowadays, this issue has become much more of a significant issue, because in previous years, and naturally speaking, fruit trees in the first 3 years don't really have much fruit anyway. And therefore, this wasn't such a big deal. Orla really didn't mean much to anybody, because if there would be fruit, it would be a couple of fruit here. It wasn't really a big deal. It really wasn't much Orla. However, nowadays, we're able to push the trees to give fruit earlier. We also are much more, which we'll see, when you transplant, when you move trees, you sort of set the clock back as far as Orla, and therefore if trees are uprooted and planted, which is probably happens more now, right? If you're uprooting from Ashtelot, if you're uprooting a tree and planting it, so again you have a possibility of having Orla over again. So therefore the issue of Orla has become a significant issue of Orla, I'm saying, and therefore therefore needs supervision to make sure that we have is not Orla. Okay, another interesting halacha about Orla, which also makes it unique amongst the things that are not Asr, the things that are Asr Bachila, that as we see here in Masechet Kiddushin, talks about HaMekadesh Ba'Orla B'Kilei HaKerem Eina Mekudeshet, that if a person takes some fruit of Orla, he has some oranges that happen to be Orla, he goes up to a woman, gives her a basket of oranges of Orla, Harat Mekudeshet Li, with this basket full of Orla fruits, she's not Mekudeshet. Why not? Basically, because it's not worth anything. In fact, the Mishnah is saying That something which is Arla is Asur Bahana, and therefore this Mishnah here has a whole list of items that are Asur Bahana. Kilei HaKerem and Shohar Niskal, these are all issues that are Asur Bahana. And the Gemara there in Maseches Kiddushin explains, Ba'Arla Menalan, how do we know that Arla is not, she's not Mekudeshes? Titania Arelim lo yechel, en le'el Yisr Achila. Hana minayim shelo yehane mimenu, v'lo yitzababa, v'lo yadlik bo ataner. Tambulamav, aratem, or latol arbot et kulam. From the fact that the Torah repeats so many times, arel, arel, arelim, aratem, the Gemara learns that you can't do anything with the fruit of Orla. Not only is it aser ba'achila, it's also aser ba'hana, and therefore you now can't eat it yourself, you can't even give it to your Aram, unto your Goyish worker who's doing the gardening, because if you give it to him as a gift, you're benefiting that he's going to be appreciative. Giving a gift is also a kind of getting hana, because if I give someone a gift, he's going to owe me one back. He'll do a better job. He'll work harder. I mean, do a gift, you give a certain benefit, okay, that the person appreciates that you gave to him. So if you take fruit of Orla and you give it to him as a gift, then you're getting hana. Then he's certainly getting hana. But even you, even if he's a guy, but you're getting hana by giving him the orla, because then he'll feel that he owes you a favor. And therefore, you can't, it can't be used for fire, can't be used for firewood, because this all the fruit can't be used for burning. These are all issues for oil, for lighting, because this is asr, not only ba'achila, the orla is also asr ba'hana. And this is learned from the fact that it says, Arelim, Araltem, Orlato, that's asr, all kinds of other usages also, as far as even painting. Our person will say, let's say, he has berries, Orla berries. Right? So they won't eat them, but he'll use them to make finger paints. Right? You can't use the Orla berries to make finger paints either. That's also getting hana from the food. Okay, this is the sort of a general background about the mitzvah of Orla. As from a kashrus perspective, we're mostly concerned from the consumer's end. Okay, we go to the store and we see Orla, right? And we don't see Orla, we don't buy it. Right? But if we go to the store and we have fruit, or we see Orla on the side of the road, someone selling oranges, someone selling whatever it is, can I buy the fruit? Or if I don't know, right? Or any time, like a person, you get a shipment, Nuva, whoever it was, gets a shipment of fruit, and they don't know where they're mixed in the fruit, where the fruit is coming from. So there should be, ideally, one of the jobs of the mashgiach, one of the jobs of the rabbanut, is to know, to keep track of the various plantations, to keep track of the orchards. And there is a list, and it's available on the website of the rabbanut. They have, or other kashrus organizations, they have lists of pardesim in which have been checked, and these pardesim are known not to have orla in their pardesim. That's one of the jobs of Rabbanut Mekash, it's one of the mashgiach. When you see something, you'll see something within Akim, Mechashash, Tevel, Orla, and Shvias, so it means that someone checked that the pardes which is coming from is not a pardes which has Orla. But what happens if you don't know? You don't have a way of checking. You're just on the side of the road, okay? So it says he has a Mishnah in Orla and has the following klal. Safek ha'orla. What do you do if you're not sure if something is orla or not? Be'eretz Yisrael, asur. It says in Eretz Yisrael, very simply, the orla is an issur d'oraisa. And since orla is an issur d'oraisa, safek d'oraisa lechumra, safek orla in Eretz Yisrael, asur. Uve Surya mutar. However, in the part of what we call Surya, which is sort of the area of Syria. Alright, so there it says it's mutter, suffix is allowed. We'll have to see why. Ubechutz la'aretz yored v'lokeach u'bevach l'ri'enu locate. In chutzat you have a bigger kula, that even if you're pretty sure it's orla, but you didn't actually see him pull it from the tree, you know that he has an orchard of orla, and he's selling you fruit outside the orchard. And the odds are 99% that he just took this from his orla tree. Okay, and he's standing outside selling the fruit that he just picked off his orla tree. It says in Chutzar that you're allowed to eat that. That unless you actually see 100% for sure that you saw him picking the orla from the orla tree, okay, if there's any element of doubt, even if it's a very small percentage, in Chutz Laretz, it says it's allowed. Then the Mishnah continues, and we have to understand, HaChadash Asur Min HaTrab B'chol Makom. It's a Stam Mishnah, and this will be Mitzvah Hashem, we'll have to discuss next week, the idea of Chadash. It says that Chadash is Asur Min HaTorah B'chol Makom, anywhere. Opinion of Tanakama is that even Chutz Laretz, the Issa of Chadash applies. V'ha'arla halacha. Halacha means halacha moshe misinai. Arla halacha moshe misinai, that it applies even to Chutz Laretz. V'ha'kal'ari midi v'esof midi rabbanan. So we have here three levels in terms of Chutz Laretz. It says, O Chadash is asur everywhere midi oraisa. Right? Chadash is not really a mitzvah, it's not considered in that respect a mitzvah to be a because according to Tanakhama, it says B'chol Moshvotechem. We'll see Mirtz Hashem next week. Orla, though, it says L'halacha, because the pasuk says Ki Tavo El Haaretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, it seems to be a mitzvah linked to Eretz Yisrael. However, there's a halacha Moshe Misinai that extends the mitzvah, the Isser of Orla, to Chutz Laretz as well. And the Din of Kilayim, Kilay HaKerem, that's only Midrabanan in Chutz Laretz. Whereas Kilay Zeram, we don't have it all, and Midarai, so there is only his narrative as well. Midarabar, the Asr, also Kilay HaKar.
Isn't there, if you see a tree, you see an apple off a tree, so that I have to worry about whether it's all or not?
Okay, so you tell me.
It seems like you can.
Right? So according to this, it says in Chutz Laretz, Safek is allowed. Okay, Safek and Chutz Laretz allowed, even if there's a good chance, unless you're sure, okay?
Right. All right.
And that's why, let's say, for example, in Chutz Laretz, even though the Din of Orla applies, you don't have to have Hashgah Nefel, or you have to, or you should have to check for Orla, because Din of Orla, Halacha Moshe Misinai applies in Chutz Laretz also.
Right.
But you don't have to, because the Zachi is Safek Orla. The Gemara in Kiddushin tries to figure out how that can be. Halacha Moshe Misinai is also the Oraisa, right? So, what did it say? Why we should apply to Halacha Moshe Misinai? We also say Halacha Doraisa. Halacha. We also say Safek Doraisa L'Chumra. So, how is Safek Orla allowed in Chutz Laretz? So that Gemara ends up concluding that Kach Ne'emra Halacha, that Halacha Moshe Misinai was given. Hashem told Moshe Orla is being extended to Chutz Laretz, but it's only being extended when it's a Vaday. If it's not Vaday, then the Isser of Orla doesn't apply. So for that reason, in Chutz Laretz there's no need to be Choshesh for Orla, unless you know for a fact. Means if you have a tree that you know is Orla, right, or your neighbor has a tree that you know is Orla, and you see him picking from the tree, then the food is Asr, whether it's you or a Goy, even if it's a Goy's tree. If the tree is Orla, then it's not allowed to be. But Chutz Laretz, you don't have to worry about it. This also has other ramifications, and that is, let's say, as far as certain fruit which are halachically questionable, whether or not, right, whether or not they're considered fruit or not. Papaya, persiflora, all kinds of things like that. So in Chutzla, so in Eretz Yisrael, we would say on many of these fruits, Safek Doraisa, L'chumra, there's room to be more machmir on these fruits. Whereas in Chutzla, since we're saying Safek, or as Aser, so there's much more room to be lenient on the various fruits, because the Issa Daraisa is only when you're sure that it's Orla, whereas these fruits, when at the halacha, is not clear, it's a question of a Safek. So therefore, there's more room to be Mekel on these questionable fruits. So that's why I saw that. So therefore, again, to summarize that, we saw that in principle, Orla applies in Chutz Laretz, but in practice, it's very only limited to where you're 100% sure that you know that this tree is Orla, you can't take from it, but from a consumer perspective, where you're getting, you don't have to worry about, you don't have to think about it, because only the Safek is allowed. However, it's as well, Safek is Asr, therefore there is a need to have Pikuach, there is a need to have Hashgacha over Orla. Okay, these dinim are mentioned here in Shulchan Aruch and Simei Reish Tzadi Dalid, where the Shulchan Aruch summarizes, Orla noheged b'chol makom uv'chol zman, Bein b'shel avei kochavim uvein b'shel Yisrael ela she'be'eretz Yisrael himen ha'torah b'chutz laretz halacha moshe misinai. Shulchan Aruch quotes this Mishnah that Orla applies everywhere with this one distinction that it's in Eretz Yisrael it's midoraisa and chutz laretz halacha moshe misinai. The Ramban then has interesting halacha based on this. What about, can you be a worker in a field of orla? You're not going to need to prove, but you're going to be a worker. Someone's going to hire you to work in an orla plantation. For a fruit from orla tree should be, yes, has to be disposed of in such a way that people won't end up using it. Right.
With Trumas and Lashon, we make special provisions and put it in double wrap and so forth. Do you have to do that with orla?
No, not at all, because orla and Trumas are completely different.
Right.
Truma is not really Asa Bahana. You're not allowed to eat it, but the Kohen is allowed to use it, and ideally it should be burned. Truma, which is Tame, ideally should be burned, so it's something that's difficult for us to burn, so we dispose of it, but it has Kedusha.
Right.
And therefore, since it has Kedusha, we definitely want to show respect to it, and therefore we don't just throw it in the garbage, but we double wrap it. The Orla is Oster Bahana. So the extreme, you know, the Truma's Meister is Kadosh. And the Orla is meant to be destroyed. Because the Orla is Oster Bahana.
You just throw it in the regular garbage.
Just throw it in the regular garbage, or bury it in the ground, or burn it, but dispose it in such a way, yes. In such a way where people won't end up using it, because it's also, a person has a tree which he planted and he knows he had all the fruit, he should get rid of the fruit in such a way that people won't end up using it. Okay?
So we've got back to work on the plantation.
Right, so the work on the plantation, so the Ramah writes over here in the end of Halacha Chayah, said that you're not allowed to, for the simple reason, we say Orla is Asur Bahana'a, and therefore if I'm going to work on picking these fruit, even if I'm picking it for the goy, so the goy can eat it. The goy doesn't have an iser orla, but if I'm working and I'm going to earn money picking these fruits, then I benefit from these fruits. I got myself a day's paycheck.
What if they're throwing out the fruit? They're collecting it to throw it out. They have to pick the fruit in order to, you can't just let it rot on the tree.
If they're picking, I guess, because it's just to dispose of it, then you're not really the...
You're the worker getting paid to do it. That doesn't come up that often.
Not sure. Right. The Ramah here is talking about giving the gift. That's what I mentioned before. I'm sorry, I was hearing that. Hagav asulu kot nachri perot milan shalosh lo orla mishum shenene b'mashem mazik lo hanachri toval zeh. So here the Ramah is talking, what we mentioned before, that you're not allowed to pick the fruit and to give it even for free to the guy, because by giving it for free, he's going to owe you a favor. Okay, then Halacha Tes, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the din of Safek that we saw. There it is, well, it's Aser, and Chutz Aretz, it's Mutter. Even if you know it's there, as long as you don't see it. What?
Surya,
we say it's Mutter, but there you have... Right, see, in Surya, we're a little bit more. In Surya, has to be a real Safek. Okay, and that's the difference. And in Surya, even though we allow in Surya, but it has to be a real Safek that you're not sure where it's coming from. In Chutz Aretz, even though you know in your heart that it's coming from that vineyard or from that orchard, you're still allowed to, as long as you didn't actually see it. Okay, so these are the basic halachos in terms of oil. Now the major question which comes up over and over and over again, and so all of you who were here in Yad Binyamin 2 years ago before Shemitah, there was this big rush to plant before the Shemitah. Well, first of course it was Shemitah, okay, but towards the end of the year, towards the Av, was a major, major rush. What's this all about? So this takes us to the question of how do you count years of Orla? And there's a point here which is very important, which I'm not sure everybody knows, and that's an important point to mention. Okay, so this is based on the first part everybody knows. And that is that we say when you talk about 3 years, it doesn't have to be 3 full years, but we say mixas hayom kakulo, Miktas Hashana Kokulo, and it says in Rosh Hashanah that Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah Le Nitiot, and therefore when you hit Rosh Hashanah, the first year is up, year 2, year 3, and therefore you can have 3 years of Orla finished way before 3 years, after just 2 years and a month, and 2 years and a month and a half. And that's what it says here in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Tanra Banan, Echad hanotea, v'echad hamavrich, v'echad hamarkiv, all kinds, these are all different g'orla, Tov refers to planting, but planting can take place in one of four forms. Either you put a seed in the ground. Now, if you put a seed in the ground, it's going to take a long time, okay, until it grows. You're not going to see fruit for many, many years. Or you take a stick and you put it in the ground, okay, that's one, that's notea, which is typically what you do. You take a tree and stick and put the stick between the ground. There's also called mavrich, okay, that which comes up, and that's many issue by grapes. That by grapes, and that's part of why you have a fear, somewhat higher incidence of oil by grapes. If you have grapes, what they do is they generally run the, we call them, drawing a runner is a mafir, that you take the grape and you put it under the ground and then you have it come up again. So that way it helps strike its own roots. Okay? And then you cut it, detach it from the first plant. So now you have, and that's how basically how grapes are propagated, by taking the vine, sticking it under the ground and having it come out again. So when you do that, when you detach it from the first plant, it's considered now a new plant. And that's why the grapes, somewhat higher incidence of orla, because grapes are often planted in such a manner that they are put in the ground and then cut. So you, even though the vine is now it has grown significantly before you cut it, so therefore it's already reached a reasonable size before the zero time. Then when you cut it, you're starting from zero when you have a full plant in front of you. Okay, or markiv, if you graft together two sticks. Again, if you graft the two sticks, also sometimes you have to restart the orla count. That's why the mission says that whether you plant or you do this havracha or the harkava, if you do it before Shavuos, this is very relevant for the people here, Erev Shavuos, 30 yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah. If you did it a month before Rosh Hashanah, Altala Shara. Shloshim Yom B'Shana, Chashub Shana. As long as you have 30 days, that's considered the year. Is considered 30 days, that's considered having the year. And after that, you're allowed to keep it. Mutal Kaman B'Shvi'it. Less than 30 days, Lo Altala Shana V'Asli Kaman B'Shvi'it. It doesn't count as a year. You can't keep it for Shvi'is. U'Perav T'Ntiyazo Asim Atu B'Shvat, Im La'Ola La'Ola, V'Im La'Ravai Ravai. And if it's after 30 days, then it's considered orla, and it's not considered a year, and it's going to remain aser as orla. Now, here the Gemara has, there are two things that have to be added. When we talk about 30 days, that means 30 days after taking root. Okay, and since it often takes up to 2 weeks to take root, that's where we get the idea of 44 days. 14 days first to take root, and then another month to be considered as a year of orla. But now the question is, okay, when does this two and a little bit finish? So I say, okay, I planted a tree, okay, let's take a case. I planted a tree in the end of Erev Shemitah, okay, before Tu B'Av. I planted a tissue, the 3 weeks are over. Ten Ba'av went to the Mashtelah, said, give me a tree. Yud Aleph Ba'av in the ground, boom. Fine. Came Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, year one. The year of Shemitah, year two. Last year, year three. And now I see a fruit coming out on the tree. I say, great, 3 years are up. True or not true? Not true. Why is it not true? What? So that's what we see here. It says here, "Uperot nitiyazu asun atu b'shvat." So what? So I'll wait. Okay. So I'll wait another 2 months, and I'll till it ripens. I'll pick it another 3 months. I'll pick the fruit, mutter or not mutter. Okay. I'm going to pick on Purim the fruit which is now growing on the tree. I'm going to pick the fruit on Purim. Is that fruit mutter or not?
No.
You'd say no. Okay? That's it. So says Rashi, why no?
Because it was already fully grown before.
Okay. Right? So take a look in Rashi. Says Rashi, Uperod netiyazu asurim, va'af alpi she'amarnu. First of all, question, why Tu B'Shvat? If we just said the year is over, and Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Hashanah, how did Tu B'Shvat suddenly creep in? So Rashi explains 2 points here. V'afu pi shaman al telo shana im chantuba perot. Rashi says, if the fruit began growing, we assume the chanatam is the beginning when it blossomed, right after the blossoming stage, when they're right, because you have the flower, and then right then a very small fruit forms, the flower falls off. That's the chanata, when the tiny fruit begins growing. So if the fruit began growing at the very early stage, im chantuba perot lachar Rosh Hashanah shlishit miyad, right after Rosh Hashanah, adayin asurim hein olamit. The fruit that are on the trees now are asur ba asur arla. All those people who planted before Erev Shemitah, anything that you see on the tree now is going to continue to be asur. Okay, if I'm not going to see too much yet, because during the winter you don't have, right, most trees are going to grow. But as it gets, we have another month till Tu B'Shvat, and some of the trees, especially if it continues to remain warm, some trees may put out some fruit. So those fruit should be removed, because those fruit are going to remain asr even after Tu B'Shvat. As long as the chanata was before Tu B'Shvat, they remain asr mishum orla. Where is Tu B'Shvat come in? So that Rashi explains. Va'afa pisha Rosh Hashanah Tishrei l'netiah. Tu B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah l'ilan. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah talked to Rosh Hashanah l'netiot, and Rosh Hashanah, we all know, Tu B'Shvat Higia Chag la'ilanot. There's a netiah and there's an ilan. What's the difference between a netiah and an ilan? A netiah is a sapling, is a young tree that you just planted, and an ilan is a bigger tree. So the first 3 years we call it still a netiah, and Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah l'netiot, and therefore the year counts Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you planted it the beginning before Tu B'Av. So therefore it's sometimes it's a Zayin. Planted it before two or two Tzayin Ba'av. So Rosh Hashanah, 1 year is up, next year the second year, and the next year the third year. However, now it's a tree. And for the tree, Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot. So now that it's a tree, its birthday gets delayed. We have a situation that's sort of like similar to other, like with other Rishon, other Sheni, you know. His person was born in a regular year. His birthday is Adar. And now it's a leap year. So comes Adar one. No, sorry, you have for mitzvah. You have to wait till Adar Sheni. So the same thing with the trees. Even though when it was the young tree, it was a netiah, came Rosh Hashanah, it's another year. But now you're a tree. Wait, if you're a tree, you have to wait till you become, your year's not over now, until Tu B'Shvat. Vezok farnaset ilan. Lefichach ein shnatam mitchadeshet latzeit midei orla ad Tu B'Shvat. Aval misham lahalan in yachan tuba perot, but any fruit which will blossom after Tu B'Shvat, okay, din revai aleihem lechol b'Yerushalayim. Then they are considered revai, uvetul l'shana haba'a, and the next Tu B'Shvat, anything which it blossoms after the next Tu B'Shvat, Yitzumi de Ravai Protachanutimba, Mikam Erech Lakahri Lami of Rosh Hashanah, Shema Maher Hatirami Tu B'Shvat Ad Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so this is Sifn of Rosh Hashanah, and from Rashi, a very, very important point that when we talk about planting towards the end of the year in order to gain a year of Orla, right, when we talk about the year, Orla year, the Orla year ends, the period of Orla ends with the Tu B'Shvat. Anything which blossomed before Rosh Hashanah is Aser, what blossoms after Tu B'Shvat, anything which blossomed before Tu B'Shvat is Aser, what blossoms after Tu B'Shvat is Mutter. So anybody who happens to have an Orla tree, okay, or that he planted before the Shemitah year, should go out Tu B'Shvat, the Yud Dal B'Shvat, and check his tree, and if he sees any blossoms on the tree, he should pull them off, because otherwise, you know, it's like I said, at that time, some may a little bit before, some may a little bit later, he's not going to know what's what. Okay, so therefore you should go out to the tree just before Tu B'Shvat and pull off any blossoms that are on the tree.
Shouldn't you just after Tu B'Shvat?
No. I guess so. It doesn't, within a day or two, it doesn't make a difference. But basically, right, you want to make, well, anything which is sufficiently good, right, okay, fine. On Tu B'Shvat, right. Anything which is on
Tu B'Shvat.
Okay, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference on the one. I don't know if the 1 or 2 days will make a difference as far as the growth.
Right.
If it's if it's blasphemed by Tu B'Shvat, if it has Chanata by Tu B'Shvat, it should be removed, and let after Tu B'Shvat let it whatever then subsequently grows would be allowed. Now this is true. So this is as far as stuff which is planted towards the end of the year. The Rambam here actually, and the Shulchan Aruch writes this way, they actually talk about three scenarios. Sometimes it's much less than a year, than 3 years. Sometimes it's actually 3 years to the day. And sometimes you can even need more than 3 years to get out of the Isser Horla. Okay? The Rambam understands that this din, that you have to wait till Tu B'Shvat, is the only way you had a sort of a head start at the beginning. Where you had a head start at the beginning, that you didn't really have a full year at the beginning, so then you have to wait till Tu B'Shvat.
Right.
But if I didn't really get a head start at the beginning, okay, let's say for example I planted it just before Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I planted it just before Rosh Hashanah, so I can't count that year. I planted it a week or two before Rosh Hashanah, I didn't count that year. So then, since I'm not going to any this, I can't count that year, so my first year is not going to finish till a little bit, till a year and a week later. Okay, so a year, a week later, and then another year, and another year, so I have three, even more than three full years, then according to the Rambam, I don't have to wait till Tu B'Shvat, because I already had three full years, and there's no need, since I didn't get a discount, I didn't get a head start at the beginning, I don't have to follow through till Tu B'Shvat. Only way, according to the Rambam, only way I had a head start at the beginning, do I need to wait till Tu B'Shvat, but not if I planted at the very, very end of the year. What if I planted now? Okay? So I don't have almost a year. So then the Rambam says, and then you go 3 years on the calendar. If I to plan today, I didn't really get a discount, but it's not so too late in the year. So this year will count. Okay? But this year will count to wait till Tu B'Shvat. Why should I have to wait till Tu B'Shvat? I didn't get such a big discount. I didn't save myself 9-10 months. I saved myself 2-3 months. So then the Rambam says, in that situation, if you were to plan today, so then if you plan today, then you would have to wait 3 years on the calendar. So next Yutet Teves would be 1 year, the following Yutet Teves would be 2 years, and the third Yutet Teves, that would be 3 years, and then you would not have to wait until whatever goes after that would be okay. According to the Rambam, there are three. And that's the Shulchan Aruch writes, that sometimes you can be much less than 3 years, sometimes if you planted it at the end of the year, it can require more than 3 years, and sometimes it's 3 years on the day, depending on when you plant it. The Ravid doesn't go for that last one. The Ravid holds that even if you were to plant now, you would anyway have to wait until Tu B'Shvat. He says you might have to wait Tu B'Shvat. Anyway, the Ravid at the end, you can see, maybe if you want, you can see the Rambam, but we won't read it inside, but this is basically the Rambam has these three calendar dates. Just let's see the Ravid at the end. So the Ravid, Amar Avram, miyom liyom shama mitu b'shvat atu l'shvat dafka, v'lo mirosh tishrei l'rosh tishrei, l'fi she'en shleimot, she'chasu ha'klita, ma'ash yatar achar tishrei kodem tiyah. So you see the rabbi here says that when it says miyom liyom, it's only from Tu B'Shvat. But for what you planted in Tishrei, or Cheshvan, or Kislev, you're not going to be able to finish 3 years later from Kislev. And the rabbi holds that you always have to wait till Tu B'Shvat, even if you planted before Tu B'Shvat. Okay, so this is as far as the counting of the year. Now, the bigger question, which is a very, very significant question, and it's very hard to give lamaisa, hard to give answers once you know what the metzius is, what happens when you get a plant from a nursery and you put it in the ground? Do you have to start the orla clock over again? Do you not have to start the orla clock over again? Okay? And this depends on how things were done in the nursery and how things were done when being brought up, when transported. So says the Shulchan Aruch in Sim Reis Tadidal at Sif Yotes, Ilan, Shakaro Ruach, Oshtafo Nahar. There's a tornado, okay, Dorothy West, right, and the tornado uprooted the tree, right, and transplanted in Kansas, on the Eretz Yisrael. Right, it could be Kansas too, right, or there's Nechutz La'aretz too. Right, so if a tree was transplanted by the tornado, okay, or the river washed it away, for the Cholam Akom Acher, and the dirt was uprooted with, you know, the roots were so secure in the ground that the clump of earth came with it. So we have to evaluate how much earth is with it. If it had a large enough clump that it could continue living while it's been detached, it was enough there to keep it going while it was detached. So if there's enough dirt that for the time that it's out of the ground it's able to live, then it's okay. But if you don't have enough dirt there and the tree would not be able to survive, so then the tree has to count the orla over again. So therefore, and the nurseries that know about this, when they will bring you a tree, they will not cut right, or they will not dig out the tree, you know, right around the roots. They'll dig out wider with a significant clump, and they'll make sure to keep it in a plastic wrap so that it doesn't disintegrate, because sometimes you can dig out with a lot of dirt, but when you start carrying the tree around, if the tree is left, the roots are left exposed, then the earth will start falling off. And even though you may have taken it out of the ground, by the time you finish taking it from the ground and drag it and put it on the truck and take it off the truck and take it to the house, okay, and then try to put it in the ground, the earth is going to be weakened. The earth is going to disintegrate and fall off the roots. So therefore, first of all, it should be packed in a plastic. It should be packed in a plastic to maintain, to make sure, and when you put it in the ground as well, put it in the ground with the plastic so that the earth is still there. And that way, whatever time was done in the nursery will count towards the orla, because you're transporting it with a clump of earth around it, which makes it consider a continuation and not a fresh start. Whereas if you didn't have a big enough clump of dirt, or the clump of earth disintegrated before you put it in the ground, so then you would have to start the clock over again. It was interesting, I happened to look at Mechon HaTorah V'aretz. There was some shayla about, someone asked a question that they had a gardener, and the gardener wanted to move a lemon tree from here to here. Just wanted to move it a very short distance. So he just dug up the lemon tree and wasn't careful what he did. He dug up the lemon tree and moved it over and then was going to plant it again. So it's at that, since he dug it out without a significant clump of earth, you have to start all over again. Because the gardener wasn't careful, about uprooting the tree and making sure it was a significant clump, and if he just moved it a tiny drop, or even put it back in the very same hole, once it's taken out of the ground and doesn't have the proper clump, so then already you have to start the orla clock over again. The other issue which comes up, and that is once growing in the nursery, is that do those years count? And that depends on how it's growing. What's the issue here? This is an issue which came up when they had the plants here, and I didn't get 100% answer on that. And that is, if something grows in an atzit, she'eino, we talk in halacha always about atzit nakuv and atzit she'eino nakuv, a flower pot, okay, that has a hole in the bottom, and some that does not have a hole in the bottom. This has many, many ramifications. It comes up in Shabbos. Is there an Isser Tolesh Midoraisa? Comes up in Chumas HaMaisos, is a Chiv Chumas HaMaisos. Comes up here in Orla. Basically, a tzitz she'eino nakuv, if the plot has no hole in the bottom, it's just a straw, a metal can or something, all right, and there's no hole for drainage in the bottom, so then it's not considered mechubar lakarka. And therefore, it can be grown there if you have something in a flower pot sitting, or even if there is a hole, but you have a, underneath it, it's sitting on a tray, right? That came up in Shemitah as well, it's the same issue, right? If you have a something growing, and underneath it, you put a tray, so that it has no contact with the ground, or it's growing on a surface, okay, it's on a plastic surface, okay? So you have a flower pot, and it's growing on a plastic surface, so even the flower pot may have a hole in it, but since it's growing on the plastic, on the plastic surface, there's no connection to the ground. So then it would not, those years would not count towards Orla, because they're not considered mechubar lakarka. To be mechubar, it has to have a hole to be atzitz nakuv, an atzitz with holes in it then it's considered mechubal akarka, it's considered growing in the ground, and whatever years it went in the nursery are considered, or do count. How big a hole? How big a hole? So that becomes a question. So the Poskim talk about a shear, so it has to be a kafi enough for a shoresh to come out. How big is that? So they usually give an idea of about an inch. Right? To give a shear of about 2.5 centimeters, close to an inch wide. What I heard from in the name of who did I speak with? I forget who I spoke with. But I was told that Rabbi Michai from Machon Tavaret said that you can make us to count together a few different holes. Even if, because that comes up a lot of the flower pots will have numerous holes, and the best thing is to have one big hole. At least from a halakha perspective, is to have one big hole. But what if you have one big hole, but you have a few little holes? Can you join together the few little holes to get to that shiur of a circle of the diameter of an inch, instead it was possible to add together the various holes to get that shear. So that helps with a lot. What some other issue is what happens, they have a lot now, it's a Utah. It's growing not on a thick surface, on a solid plastic surface, but they have the black tarp,
right.
And it's growing on a tarp, or it's wrapped in a tarp. So is that considered having holes or not having holes? Okay? Because in a certain sense, there are, and the water can drain, but there's no real hole in it, and it depends. So that depends, it's a little bit hard to give an answer, it depends on the thickness of the weave, okay? It depends on the thickness of the weave and how tight it is. Some of these things are woven very, very tightly, that the roots can't really puncture through, and that would be considered detached. And then what if it's growing on this plant, you know, if the whole time was growing, and that's one of the mashkot, was growing on these beds of, you know, these poly sheets. So if it's a thick poly sheet, then everything that's growing there may not count. On the other hand, if it's a softer and a looser weave, so that the roots can break their way through it, then it may count towards Orla. Then it may count that if it's growing in the nursery, it would count towards Orla, and if it's therefore it's both a clump from the nursery, if it's growing there in this wrap, which is able to either have some holes in it, or it's loose enough that the roots can break through it, then you replant it, then you would not have to count the orla over again. These are the details that you have to check. You have to check with individual mashtela, and you have to check the particular materials that they're using and how they dealt with it in the mashtela.
So how do you get past transportation?
What?
How do you get past, once they take it out, they take it out with their plastic, the plastic doesn't have a hole in it, let's say.
What?
The mashtela has... Right. It has holes in it.
So you have to. So you dig it. You.
They undig it, or whatever you call them, and they dig it up.
Right.
And they put it on a flatbed truck to transport it to your bina.
Right.
On that flatbed truck.
Okay. So there are those who say that if it's on a flatbed truck, since right now it's artisan akuv, that in fact does zero it, and therefore, in some of the mashtelot, they carry the trees on not flatbed trucks, but they have trucks with like a network, a grid. There are those who have, sure they have special trucks with a grid on the bottom, so that it's never really detached. It's never completely detached.
And that's fine.
Right. That. But many persons say that even if it's put in a truck, but as long as it has, since it's just for transportation. And that wouldn't zero it. We always talk a place where I was talking about where it's growing the whole time on the surface, and then that's not going to count. But the fact that it was put into this truck for a few minutes just for transportation, that some posts go off on that, and that's where the chachila, they try to have these trucks with a grid on the bottom, but many posts them to the transportation. Shomazam Rabbah Chazmon Shuva. About this.
When it's growing in the nursery,
let's
say 4 or 5 years,
mm-hmm.
You're saying that orla, it never reaches past orla because it's, let's say it doesn't have holes.
If it always will have some holes because they said basically it has to, otherwise it's going to drain. But the issue is, but it may be on the surface.
On the surface.
Right.
That never resolves its orla issue?
Correct. It can be growing for 5 years in the nursery, but if the nursery is growing them in these plastic things on a hard surface, okay, on a hard plant or a metal surface or some other thing, right, then all the years in the nursery are not going to do anything because it's not considered, it's a fish, it's growing the whole time, and a fish sheino naku.
Well, so what if someone wants to grow it in a pot on a merpeta?
Okay.
Can you do that, or you always have the
Orla
issue, because you're not growing it in the ground, you're growing it in a pot.
Again,
okay,
so what kind of pot? There's a pot.
How
does it hold
it? But it's
so then you have to figure out what's in the way. So then you have to figure out what's in the way. If it's the concrete, or the balatos, is that considered on the ground or not? Okay, it takes us to another issue.
Oh, okay.
Okay, is that considered ground or is it not considered ground? Okay, so the issue comes up in Shemitah also, the sort of the opposite,
right,
the Chumrah,
right,
and the
Shemitah, right,
the opposite way. It could be concrete, maybe less so, because concrete is probably more ground than it is, so there's much more, I think. If you have, let's say, a balatot, when it comes to Orla, then maybe consider it a hefsek. Maybe a problem. Balatot as far as Orla here, because again, it's Safi Daraisa. Although even if you make by Shemitah, it's considered on the ground. When it comes to Orla, you may have to make it that it's not considered the ground.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So I have to check that.
Right. Okay. I don't feel like English ones don't have any notes.
Right.
That was one of the reasons. Yeah, put on our pesach.
Right.
It comes up as not.
Right. So if you have something going in the pesach, it could very well be.
That's an issue.
Right. Again, while it's still there, you don't have a problem. Because it's growing in a Tishinokuv, is not going to be chayav in Orla unless it's chayav midrabanan. I don't have to check that.
Okay.
I have to check whether it's chayav midrabanan. I'm not sure about that point.
Okay.
Another question which comes up, which is important, very important here, as far as what happens with all the petiflora. So we have a shiur on the petiflora. There's a big machlokas among the poskim whether it's considered a tree or, and therefore has Orla or not. Sfardim holds it's not considered a tree, and therefore for various reasons, there's no issue of Orla by Petiflora. It could have a fruit in the first year, the Teavon. Ashkenazi poskim are less sure. According to the Chazon Ish, it is considered a fruit because it can continue to have fruit beyond 3 years. It is considered a fruit. And therefore, according to Ashkenazi poskim, there are many, not everyone, but there are many who are choshesh for Ashkenazi.
Right.
However, there's a very big kula here. And that's what you have in Sif Chav Gimel. I spoke with Rabbi Eichenberg, and he said you can make a tirif out of this. It says here, Sif Chav Gimel, Hanotea Ilan Ma'achal, a real fruit tree, a lemon tree, a classical fruit tree. Ve'ein dato soch achila. But you planted it you didn't plant it with intention for the fruit. Right, Ella. The old gadeh l'sadeh. You need something to make a border around your field, and the most available tree happens to be a fruit tree. So you took a fruit tree and you put it at the border of your field, not because you're interested in the fruit at all. You're just interested in putting a border there. Obishvil ha'itzim l'safan l'binyan. You need it for wood. You want to make a fire.
Right.
So you took whatever trees you can get and you started planting trees. Okay, for lumber.
Right.
Okay. So then. But there's no issur orla. Even as a classical fruit tree,
you can use the fruit,
there's no issur orla. It has to be et ma'achal, that there's intention for the fruit. But if you had no intention for the fruit, you want it for the lumber, you want it to make a marker, there's no issur for a fence. The only thing is, v'ush eini kash not tzorach ha'achila. You have to be treated in such a way that it's clear that you didn't do it for that reason. Kugorim hu l'sreifa, if you're doing it for lumber or to make a firewood, you plant shiritzufim, they're planted close together, when you're interested in the fruit, you leave a certain distance so you have proper nourishment for the trees, to grow for the fruit. But if you're doing it for lumber, or just to burn it, so you want to have it, you just plant them very close to each other, or a fence, after you place, or a fence is appropriate. And therefore, it says that if you planted the petiflora with no intention at all, you didn't care about the fruit, you may not even know this fruit, they just told you that it spreads well, on the fence, right? If that's all you're interested in, then there's no issur orla, provided that you don't afterwards you continue to maintain this, that you don't care about the fruit, okay? If you decide after, oh, there's fruit here, oh, terrific! Now I'm going to make sure to collect all these fruit, and you make an issue about the fruit, then already you would start the Orla from the time that it was planted.
What
okay?
did you plant? Your neighbor planted it at a border between your house and their
right.
house, which is what we have.
Right.
They didn't want it, you know, and now it's there. And now it's some of the fruits on your side of the fence. And
right. So that's it. Oh, yeah. So choshem mitzach choshem mishpat. If it's a plant that's on his side, the fruit are his. Even if they're growing on your side.
Okay.
Okay. So if I let you take it, you can take it. But mitzach choshem mishpat.
So then you have to go back to what he thought.
Right. So then you have to ask what was his intention when he planted it.
Okay. Intention,
right. What was his intention? If he intended it just to cover the fence, then there's no way to serve Arla. Okay, if he intended for the fruit, then there would be, according to Ashkenazim, there would be room to
okay.
be choshev. However, what happens, and this comes up part of a very common situation, you're mostly interested in the fence.
Right.
But you knew there were fruit, and you had a, you know, why? So there, so that's why I spoke with the Rebbe, so the Chazon Ish has a suffix about that. When you have a machshava, you sort of carve the tafel, right? Is that us? Is that, does it have to be had? The Shekhinah Lashon HaShuram, the Shekhinah sounds like you can't have it all. It's not at all for fruit. It's just the Gadair, or just the Eitzim, or just the... But if you had any, if you didn't tempt the fruit, that's us. But other, the Rosh and others seem to indicate that even if your as long as your primary intention, that's good enough. So Rav Achman said you can make a kind of a speck on this Pesiflora. Some say, many posts can say Pesiflora Bechlal is not a tree. And even if it's a tree, if your primary intention was for the fruit,
right.
and your primary intention was for the fence, even if you had a tafel kavana by the pesiflora, it was known to be maker. If it was a regular fruit tree, then you didn't have it would be a suffix behind machlokas the Chazon Ish mentioned. But here you have a sex faker. Maybe it's bechal not a fruit, and even if it's a fruit, your primary intention was ligader. And therefore, we possibly eat Ashkenazim to eat in that situation. And the Lashon he kept using was, his attitude is, you perot, you, lo you perot, lo you. Okay, that he has a very nonchalant attitude towards the fruit. Okay, and the final issue, and that's we just sort of explain briefly, because there's a lot of details here, and that is when you go to the store, what out of a place which has no, this is a major question, to what extent, if you have a place where there's no pikuach for Orla, you go to the shuk, you don't know what you're getting there. Can you buy fruit there? Can you not buy fruit there? So here, there is the issue, we're talking about bitul. So bitul of Orla is only for it's very strict. It says, be'echadu matayim. Bitul of Orla, you have to have 200 times as much. So if you're going to talk about bitul, right, let's say if you have an orange that you know it's Orla, got mixed up with the orange, you're going to have 200 oranges to be mevatalim. Okay? However, we have a different halacha. We say, kol de parish meruba parish. That's if I have an apple, which I know is Orla, and it gets mixed in, I'm talking about bitul, I have to have 201. But if, let's say, for example, I had 10 apples sitting there, 10 apples, some which are Orla, and one rolled away, okay, and now I just find the one that rolled away. So I don't know which one was it. Was it this one, or was it this one, or was it this one, or was it this one? I'm talking about bitul. Bitul is why I know that this is here. I'm trying to overpower it. But here, I'm just looking at the one apple I have here. This one apple may have been or may not have been. So then we say, call the parish, meruba parish. We assume that it came from a jar. And that's a classical case. You have 9 butcher shops are kosher, one is trade, or vice versa, and you find meat out in front of the stores. Alright, go ahead, 9 are kosher. Alright, take it home, put it in your cup in your oven and eat it. I need a case in the tray for your shop. Afialach, you don't have to be kosher, it's just the majority are kosher, and you find it out in the street. Then we say you call the parish mura parish. So if you have places where there's orla, places not orla, and you're getting it in the shuk, and in the shuk, alright, you're getting at a point, it's already away from the plantation. Most of the places are not Orla. Very few food have the majority of Orla. Almost nothing, except for Pesiflora. Okay. So, kol de parish, meruba parish. You got oranges sitting here in the shuk. You can assume the oranges that are sitting here in the shuk are oranges that were not Orla. And that's what the Rabbi Yosef and some of the Sfadi poskim that would say that way. However, the problem is we have a rule called kavua. Kol kavua kimechta al mechta dami. That anything which is at its place in its place is always considered 50-50. Bein the kula, bein the chumra, even if the odds are hot stacked against it, if it's at its place, it's considered 50-50. So therefore the question then becomes, is this considered as kavua if someone went to an orchard? The orchard exists there. There's an orchard of orla. And therefore anyone who went to the possibility, wherever the question sort of began, that you went to the place of this, not the Isser sort of rolled away, but you went to this and you took this away from there, you went into one of the stores. So even if not a kosher and only one trace, but if you went into the store, alright, then you can't eat it. And you don't remember which store you went into, since you went into the place, you went and got the safek. Right. That's the rule you have in the Yardea, Kofiud, Ko Kavua, Kemechta, Amechta Dami. And that becomes the Poskim, what's considered Kavua, when do we say, what are the many details of rules of Kavua? Lamaisa, after all the discussions, so as you mentioned, Rav Avadya Yosef and Sfaradim assume that you follow the rov. They don't consider this kavua, it's considered called the parish, and therefore they can pretty much buy freely. Again, ideally they should have pikuach, but like Mekar Adin, according to Sfaradim, you can say that Rav Yosef says that called the parish, move a parish. The Ashkenazi poskim are concerned about the issue of kavua. And their basic approach is that if there is a significant, that pretty much wherever you go around the country, they have these, every area, there is something of Orla, then you have to consider it Kavua. Whereas if it only exists here and there, but it's not established throughout the whole country, it's not considered Kavua. What does that mean? So some cut a cutoff of about 5%. That if there's 5% Orla, that means that 1 out of 20, that means pretty much in every area you're going to have. Now, if 20%, if you know, a 20th of the fruit, 5% of the fruit is orla, then that means that pretty much wherever you go, right, some say 10%, some say 5%, the question is how you deal with that. That pretty much wherever you go, there's going to be, in the neighborhood, well, there will be some issue of orla, and therefore there are charts that will give you a sense of how much, what percentage it's in the shuk, so you can work off those charts. If it's under 5 or 10%, then you can eat it, then, alright, well, if it's higher than that, you need to have hashgacha to ensure. There are those who are machmir that you need less than, even despite all that, you need really bittul, you need to go less than 200. And therefore, only things where the percentage is less than 0.5%, right, which is 200, only that you can go with. A lot of the winter fruit is that low. Let's say oranges is that low. But
they just don't produce.
Citrus fruits. Are typically under that. Again, not all of them are in that range, but in general, the winter fruit are okay. But that gets into a very complicated issue of oil. So that's basically in Lamaise, as far as the Shuk, Sfaradim follow the Rov, Ashkenazim are concerned about a significant amount, according to some say 5, some say 10%, and some are Machmir only if it has to be under 0.5%. Okay? Right, so when it has Hashgacha, so Hashgacha will all say Nakim Echashash Orla. So this then depends how good a job the, you know.
Right.
If it's in principle, if they say it's Nakim Echashash Orla, that means that they check that, the plantation.
Right, and you rely on that. I mean,
if
it's Tudah, the same thing. The Shekel have a Tudah, like the, you know, at least in Beit Shemesh, I know, the individual stands had a. Yeah, they asked for it, but
right.
If they had it, then that's a problem.
Right. So it'll depend on the reliability,
right,
of whatever Hashgacha agent. As far as
right.
You know.
At least it's better than just relying on your.
Right.